Detroit here years ago, and of course it ran until my husband died, which is 13 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And we had people from the country. All the people that came on Saturday. Saturday was the day for the country people to come in. That was the big day for everyone.
Oh.
And they'd come in and they would buy their things. And many times I'd bring them in and give them something to drink. And, you know, then they'd go shopping someplace else and leave their stuff here.
Uh-huh.
And of course, I did tell you about the business day before. There was one there. There was a florist in this block.
Hmm.
About three houses down, was run by Margaret Sanders. And the first Coca-Cola plant was on this block, too.
Is that right?
Yeah. It was like a little store on the end of this alley. And instead of calling up the folks, that we'd either go there and get the case for the store, or they'd bring it down there. You know? That was years ago, when I first came to Maryland.
Hmm.
I was really raised in New England. I was born in Philadelphia, but my parents left when I was a baby. I was raised in Rhode Island. So I usually call that my home, Rhode Island. So well, that's the program.
How did you meet your husband?
Well, years back, when my mother and father were in Philadelphia, they met his parents, Joe's parents, in Philadelphia. So when I came to visit my aunt in Philadelphia, he was visiting my aunt there, too. So that's where I met him.
Huh. And now, was he working?
He had this place of business. First it was run by his parents. Mm-hmm. And then when we were married, we took it over.
Oh. And so when you came to Maryland, that's what you helped him right then?
Yes. Oh, yes. I worked in the store with him, and the railroad station was the end of the block up there. Mm-hmm. And I'd get up, we'd have the store open, cleaned, did everything by 6 o'clock in the morning to catch all the railroad workers. You know, they'd buy their working gloves and they're chewing tobacco and the cigars. So you knew the people, so you have everything ready, hand it to them as they come in because they're in a hurry to catch the train, you know. So it was nice, it was a lot of hard work. A lot of hard work. Get up 6 o'clock in the morning, stay up till the next 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, clean enough and get things. So we sold everything. We sold ice cream and candy and, confectionery. And then we sold clothing. We sold everything.
Hmm.
One side of the store was clothing for men and women. We had it. What we didn't have, we ordered.
Hmm.
Then later on in years, the telephone company was across the street. And we served them with all kind of refreshments and things. Run over there and deliver them things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
In those days, there was at night only one girl. Many a telephone call I got during the night to look out because they're scared to death, you know, people ringing the doorbell.
Uh-huh.
And those girls used to have to fix their own furnace during the night. They had to leave the telephone, you know, by the switchboard to go downstairs and fix the furnace.
Mm.
Yeah, when I first came here, there wasn't very many lights on the streets, and the streets weren't paved.
Mm-hmm.
I had some pictures my son had given me, but I hid them so far away that I can't find them. I was going to go, "Did you have them?"
Mm-hmm.
And I can't seem to find them, but if I find them, I can, let you know.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the rest of the town that wasn't all built up, from the hospital down to the park, hardly anything was down that way, except the hospital on that corner. And everything was just practically nothing, maybe a couple of little sheds on both sides of the street. And then Haverty Grace on the main street, the side that, I don't know if you know Haverty Grace very well, on the left-hand side going to a park, that side of the street wasn't developed at all. Everybody was, the stores were all on this side. The other side was nothing.
Was there very much business and stores and things when you got
here?
Well,
business was good, but people didn't have money like they do now. You can they have Social Security, they have a lot of things from government. But those days, if you didn't work, you didn't have the money. And a lot of times the farmers would come in, they wouldn't have any money, but they may have some vegetables or something. They say, well, if we would sell them a dress or a coat or something, well, we could take the vegetables and, you know, return. And of course we had a family. It was good. We had good fresh vegetables or good chickens, you know, that they would have. And sometimes they'd have part payment. And then, of course, my husband was very good to the people. He would let them have things. I remember some, in those days, things were reasonable. You know, dress, you could buy a cotton dress for 95 cents. A pair of shoes for $1, $1.95. And some of them couldn't afford to pay for it at one time. They'd pay you 25 cents this week, and next week when they come, they'd give you another 25 cents until they paid for it. We had all kinds of people coming in. Mm-hmm. We looked forward to the Saturdays. Saturdays were so all the people from the country. It was really nice.
How far out would they come from?
Oh, we had customers all through this county and also across the river. And then, of course, my husband had a panel truck, and he would deliver some of the things to Aberdeen and up in the country and to Perryville. And then when they built Conowingo Dam, well, he used to take carload of shoes down there and deliver them. But of course, I stayed and worked in the store and prepared that part. Kept us busy.
Well, now, is this area around here, is this downtown, or is this more,
this is the middle of the town. But this street had several businesses on it. We had a business, then the florist business, then the Coca-Cola plant, and then down the street in the middle of that block, the Lefflers had a store, and the corner store was the Gleason girls, two girls had a store. So there were several places of business. Then later on, I don't know if you know McSpadden's Tailor down on the Main Street now, they started in this next block. They started their tailor shop there. So there was quite a few businesses on this street. And they sort of considered it a business section, because when they decorated for Christmas, you know, we donated so much money, they donated. They put the lights up this far, you know, as far as we donate, I guess, the last ones, and they bring the lights up this far, you know. They don't do that anymore. They just do the paint screen. There aren't too many businesses on this street.
Well, now, let's see. Did you have the bridge that went across and went right into town?
Mm-hmm.
Was that a lot of traffic?
Yes. Well, there was a lot of traffic there. We had relatives in Perryville, you know, some of my husband's relatives, and we'd go to visit and come back. And that's when I was trying to learn how to drive, and my car stalled out the bridge. You know, those days you shifted gears.
Uh-huh.
And it went into neutral, but I didn't know. The children were little babies, and they kicked it, went into neutral. And everybody was tooting. Finally, some man came out of the car and he says, "Thinky, that's in neutral. Why don't you start up again?" I was just learning. I didn't know. So I started up again and it started. But the traffic was so heavy. Yeah, they had that double decker bridge then. The first they had the one, and then they built the double decker afterwards.
And let's see, was it during that time that they had the racetrack going, or?
My husband owned horses then too, also. So we'd go up to the track, and a lot of people used to go in the middle, in the center. You know, people that you knew from home here, they'd all go in the center, and you'd have like a little get together.
I guess that involved a lot of people in the town.
Yeah, we used to have a lot of racetrack people that came during the racetrack season. Well, I never, in this town they had a lot of people that gave room and board. I have had lots, but I never received any payment. Racetrack time, my house was like a hotel. But I never did it for pay. And we had three meals a day, and every day, all the time, but the races were either. But they were all friends that come from New York or Rhode Island or someplace that you knew. Used to be Even in the summer, I'd be always busy because they'd consider this country. You see, coming to a vacation to the country to see where I was raised in that Providence, Rhode Island, was a city, a very densely populated city.
Mm.
And friends would say, oh, we're going to go visit Mrs. Hayden down in the country. And this was really considered country, but it's built up a lot now, though, since.
Mm.
And if now there's lots of lights and you're more scared to go out. When I first came here, there wasn't hardly any lights. I was afraid to go out because it was dark. Because in Providence, there's plenty of lights. But now there's plenty of lights. I'm afraid to go out worse now. Oh. Things are terrible. You just can't, you know, you can't just live the way things are now.
Was it hard to get you, was it hard to adapt to coming here?
It was for me. But the people were very friendly. Mm. The people were very nice to me. In those days, the neighbors, you knew them all. They were all very nice. And they would send me little things, or they'd invite me over, or try to have a little games, you know, at night or something to keep me occupied.
Mm-hmm.
Even the priest would stop in and bring some little, he'd say, here's some little tidbits for you. I know you're around somewhere. Because my people were all up and around. But after I've gotten used to it, I really liked it. It's these latter years that have been sort of the hardest for me, because the vandals have been pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
I've been broken into here 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
Gotten 2 of my best properties burned down. And all that, you know, it's pretty disheartening. And just this morning, I didn't know whether I was going to call you and say, I don't know if I could even be here. You know what? They see a hole, they go down and they dug my copper pipes out of the house down the park where it was torn down. They've stolen those copper pipes 2 or 3 times, so I told them told the plumber I'm not replacing any more copper pipes. I just can't afford to put any more copper pipes.
Mm.
And you tell the police, and they found the boys, but nobody did anything. They saw them doing it, and
mm.
So the latter years seems like the hardest. Because you're just afraid. You're afraid to leave anything out. You have to hide everything. You should see when I go to bed. I have to bar these, put things behind the doors, and put things that make noise. The house looks terrible. Somebody walks in the morning.
Mm.
I got cans on chairs. If they open the door, it'll make a noise. All kinds of things that I'm usually ashamed of in myself, but I'm, what could you do? It's a big house and I live, sleep upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. 3 times I've broken in and they've taken quite a bit and I never was, never got anything back for anything.
Mm. What was Havana Grace like when you got here? Was it a very active little town or not much?
Very slow. It seemed very slow to me. I don't know whether it came from, you know, very busy city. It seemed kind of slow.
Mm.
But the people were, they were nice, that they would invite you and try to be nice to you.
Mm.
But there weren't many activities or anything that you could really go. They, well, we did have a movie house down here. It was good, the movies.
Mm. What was your husband, did he have a large family here in town?
No, he was the only son, his mother and father. And then had an uncle that lived in Prairieville. I don't know if you know, did you know Harold Kober?
Mm-hmm.
Well, his uncle sold his house to Harold Kober in Prairieville. And then he went back to Lebanon. And then Joe's father went back to Lebanon, but his mother was here and I took care of him until she passed away.
Mm. Well, now, it sounds like you were so busy with so many times. Did you have much time for what little free time you have, what did you do?
I didn't have very much free time. I have more, I've entertained more people. You could have come to this house one day and seen the worst person in town, maybe the poorest, come in here. And they were treated good. And I have had governors, I have had pashas from abroad, but all kinds of people have all treated the same, and they've always been nice to me too.
Mm.
Of course, they appreciated it. So, as long as people are nice to me, I don't care what their status is. You know, I'm just feeling I do the best I can.
Mm.
And I've always entertained. It used to be every week, 5 or 6 cars would come, stay all night and have a good time, sleep, get up in the morning, start all over again. Everybody, you know, was jolly. Mm-hmm. Your neighbors were nice. If you baked a cake, you took them part of it, or you gave them one, or you took, bought a watermelon again. Now you're afraid to say hello to the neighbors. You don't know who they are. You might think they might be casing the joints. I'm afraid to hire somebody. Would you believe that? This floor in this hall has warped from the weather. I don't know what carpenter to get, because I did get my man who told me he was a builder, and I asked him to put a strip on the door in the wintertime, and the strip was $2. He charged me $25.85 to put it on, and when you go out, you look and see what he did. There's more space I have to put rugs behind it all winter. And then I tried to call him, the word he told me to call if anything was wrong, and I gave him a check because I told him I had no cash. And he said, well, I take your check anytime. I says, well, after that, I thought we won't ever get another check. But then I read in the paper with the same man's name and the same address held up a taxi driver with a knife. So how do you go to hire people to do anything anymore? You just don't. I have boys that cut the grass for me. They found out I had silver. I had to have with wedding gifts. Well, we put them in a carton, and I had them in a shed and locked the shed, and I thought, well, first time again, I'll take the barn and have them refinished. And they broke in there, took everything. Just, they moved, they cut the grass, they knew where everything is. And the shed wasn't open, but they broke it. So, it's different now. Before, I didn't care about closing the doors. We left our doors open. We left things out in the yard. If anything that was excessive, we put it out in the yard. Mm-hmm. You know, like vegetables, even meat sometimes when the winter time. Mm-hmm. Nobody touched anything. Mm-hmm. You can't even put a little teeny flower pot there. You see somebody running and grabbing and taking. It's getting to be, you don't know. I don't know why. What's gone wrong with this? This world, I don't know if it's everywhere.
Yeah. Well, now, what about your children? I think you have some pretty distinguished.
I have some very good children, and thank God they're all very good to me. They I can't walk too much, but they come here and I've got stuff piled in the hall. They'll take it up for me, they'll put it away, and they'll get me whatever I want. And they check on me. My grandchildren are very good to me too, but you see, they're all working. You have professional children, you just can't call them up every few minutes. Because this one's like Tommy, he's at the Public Service Commission. Now he's down in West Virginia. He was elected president of the Eastern Coast. So he had to be there. Well, Freddie, he's at the hospital. Rosemary's got another job. She's in Bel Air at the public health. So I don't like to bother them. I don't impose, you know, even if they're my children. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'm sick, but I don't even call them. They don't like that. They say, we go for strangers. Why can't we come to see our mother if she's sick? But I like to be an independent person, do the best I can. I call on them when I'm desperate, when I get so that I don't know who else to call.
Well, now, was it hard raising a family?
Well, we really were strict with our family. If Joe told them they had to come in a certain time, I sort of kept going along with him. A lot of times it hurt me. One time Rosemary was 5 minutes late, and he wouldn't let her. She used to love the movies, and he would never let her go. And I knew the manager. He says, I'll let her in. Joe wouldn't know, and I says, no. Because I went along with him. I thought if he said so, we should keep, you know, we should keep his word, you know. And I think it paid off, because, you know, when you're told something, your word should be as good as gold. And I still feel that way. If somebody tells me something right now, big word to me is very important, because I've always lived that way myself. Mm-hmm. But I don't think most people feel you have to live in black and white now, right?
Well, now, was it difficult raising your family and working and
It wasn't easy, because I used to stay in the store, and, you know, I breastfed my children. I'd come in here in between customers, and when run back, and they used to say you have to rest after that. You're not supposed to be too tired, you know, when you're breastfeeding. But I did it, and I used to get up real early and get that store all polished up and showcases and everything, and take care of the kids. In those days, you didn't have these diaper service, you didn't have any of that stuff, you did it all. And between that and entertaining, friends coming in, I don't know how I did it. I really, when I sit down and think, I don't know how. I guess when you're young, you don't think of those things. You just go ahead and do them, and it's on. And I went to all their activities. They weren't any, they were all sports, different sports. I went, because Joe had to stay in the store. One of, you know, we always made sure that one of us would go, because, well, we like to see them in the first place. And all the photographers used to make sure they took their pictures. They knew we'd buy them. I don't know if you remember Mr. Waller. He used to say, well, I know where I'd sell some. I said, you don't take them because you like them. He said, yes, I like them. But he says, I know I can sell them, too.
Did you and your husband have something to do with them choosing their careers and all, or did they choose it for themselves?
Well, we had something to do with it. Now, Freddie started off. In fact, he won a scholarship. He could have gone, he could have, well, in fact, he started. He gave the scholarship away. I think they divided it between two boys in Aberdeen. And he went to Western Maryland, and he was going to study languages. Well, his father kept saying, I'm not too keen on that. He says, I think you should either be a doctor or a lawyer. And it kept harping on it, but finally he said, that's all right. He will try to become a doctor. Well, we sent him to Georgetown University. In those days, that was the highest priced university in the country. And, you know, we had to work hard. They say prices are high now, but money's easier to get now. When you took in $3 or $4 all day long for $9 or $10, you did a good business in those days, you know. And you had to save a lot to send your children to school. And I know I've saved things, money, and I say I'm going to buy something for the house. And Joe say, well, I have to pay tuition, or you have, they need a medical book or a lawyer book or something. Well, I didn't get what I want. I spent it on them, you know. It's only natural. It wasn't very easy, but the main thing is that they did study, and they did come through, you know, they did very good in school. They did graduate with honors. And Tommy, he started off in engineering, and Joe says, we thought you were going into law. Well, they asked him in school, why was he studying engineering? He said, I don't know why, because I've always wanted to become a lawyer. So then he went into Navy, you know, and then come back and he worked for the sheriff's office for a while. Well, he decided, you know, that it's nice to make money on the outside, and he was taking his good old time going back to school. So his father went to Sheriff Fulper and says, are you going to fire him or not? He said, if you don't fire him, he says, I'm not going to, there's going to be a problem because he's got to go back to school. He didn't fire him, but Joe talked to Tommy, then he went back to school. When he went back to law school instead of engineering. So they both started on two different fields. But Rosemary went right through for medical school. I tried to get her to change. I thought it was too much for her. She wouldn't want to go to medical school.
Were you surprised at how much, I mean, in a community, for them to be all three of them big, you know, very successful leaders of the community? How?
Well, I wasn't surprised, because they were very studious. If I told them they couldn't go to school, they wouldn't like it. They were the type that really wanted to go, and they were very studious. They wanted to do that, so. And in every grade, one or the other would be the president of the class, or, you know, they did do very good in school. So I wasn't surprised, and I, you know, I don't know whether, do you have children? You're not married?
No.
Well, parents sort of find ways to get them to push through, you know. You tell them things certain people said, you know, and that they should do this and that. And then, you know, there's certain little sayings that you tell them that pushes them ahead. So every time you got a chance, I did it, you know. And they always did things for myself, children did. So whatever I thought would push them through, I would say. And they would be sunk in. They still saved a lot of the sayings I used to say to them. They still remember a lot of them. And I don't know, in those days honor was a big thing. And I always used to say to them, mine honor is my life, take honor from me, and my life is done. They still say that. But you see now, you see things that goes on nowadays. I don't think that means much in these days. Mm. I don't know what it's me, but that's where I feel from what I see. We had to do a lot of work, chilling out and delivered stuff and sold stuff. And we did everything in the store. We worked hard. We did everything that we could to make the money to send to school. And we didn't stint on anything. They had everything that they need, whatever they wanted at all times. Mm-hmm. And nowadays, you know, they help you to go to school. You can get loans. In those days, when you went to medical school or any of the graduate schools, they ask you if you can afford it. If you can't, they don't want you. See, they wouldn't even bother. They wouldn't even take you in. So we told them we could, and we wanted to make sure we could, so we really worked hard.
Now, were there a lot of professional people in Happy Grace? Or was this... I would feel like they were very special in this community.
Yeah, they weren't too many. There was just a few doctors. There was Dr. Fuller and Dr. Steiner. I think when I first came here, there was Dr. Steiner and Dr. Foley. And I think there was a Dr. Hopkins and Dr. Begg, about four doctors. I don't remember that much because my in-laws used to have Dr. Steiner. Then when I became pregnant, they thought we'd have Dr. Steiner. Well, then he went on vacation to California. In the meantime, I fell. So we called Dr. Foley. He had just come out of school. I was his first patient. And my father-in-law was so upset. He said, we're getting a doctor just come out of school. He was wanting Dr. Steiner. When Dr. Steiner came back, he was disappointed because Foley was smart enough to ask me if I had one. I said, no. So he says, how about me? I says, well, you look all right. My father-in-law was very upset. Oh, every day he'd say to him, I don't know why don't we, why don't you need another doctor to help you? He used to make him feel terrible. Then after a boy was born, named him Tommy, his name was Thomas Jim. Dr. Foley was the best man in the world. Well, see, that's all the doctors were here then. But back in my family, and you know, years back, we had doctors and lawyers and priests. My father was highly educated. My father spoke seven languages. So, I don't know, I'm very thankful. I've had a lot of, reverses, but I've had a lot of good things, and I thank God a lot of times. Most of the time, I thank God for everything. My grandchildren turned out very good, too. We had five graduates this year, and they all graduated with honors. One from law school, medical school, two from college, and one from John Carroll. That's amazing. They all had awards.
Well, now, what did you think when your son Tommy got involved in politics?
Well, I liked it up till the time that I like politics. I've always liked law, and you know, I've always was interested in civic affairs, and I like politics. And then when he ran in the legislature, he did very good. He had the highest amount of votes in his county, more than Joe Tigers did too. But then when he ran for Senate, and the machines locked on his name, 21 machines through the county, and they found out it was dirty work. I didn't like politics very much after that.
Mm.
Because I felt like that you should win by an honest way, you know. And if the machines were working right, they should have worked right on his name also.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they said that you could write your name on the ballots, then they didn't count them. They said it wasn't legal.
Mm.
But I don't remember. He was head of the Legion. That's my problem. I forget names now. It used to be I couldn't remember everything. And we had gone to church, and, you know, we all went to the family, said prayers and everything. And when we never put all of that down, aren't you? I thought I was just talking, telling you things. So anyway, this fella came and said, Joe, you know what's happened? And Joe said, no. He says, you can't vote for Tommy. He says, why can't you? He says, the machines are locked on his name, and they said it's an error. Joe says, machine is my middle name. He says, I know how to fix machines, and I know that they couldn't be, they had to be done purposely. So we could see one machine, you know, going bad or not working. But 21 through the county, that didn't sound very good to me.
Mm.
Well, then I thought there was so, but in those days when all that illegal, that to me was illegal. And Tommy didn't win, and he lost by very small margin anyway. I didn't like him to run after that, because I thought if they would go to that extreme.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a very conscientious person. He doesn't, it's not because he's my son. He is that way. He'll always be that way. He'll do more for people and then for himself. He sacrifices things for himself to do for people. I mean, he was raised like that.
Mm-hmm.
So when the reason he didn't sign when he ran for Congress till the last minute, because he thought that I wasn't going to like it. I know it was my fault, because I didn't say anything. I always tell them to make up their own minds. I tell them the advantages. When they always come to me and ask me if they want to do anything, even if they're married. I tell them the advantages and the disadvantages, and then I tell them, you make your mind, you know, you do what you think,
mm-hmm.
which is better, you know, you can weigh them mm-hmm. and see which is better. So he waited till the last day to register, and he called me up and he said, Mom, I registered to run for Congress. I says, well, good luck. I worked for him pretty hard. And I think he would have won had he started when Bauman started. I don't have a thing against Bauman. I like the man very much. But he was Republican. My son is a Democrat. Naturally, I'm not going to go against my son. And I worked very hard for him. And he didn't lose by very much. But I wasn't very much in favor of him running at that time, since he had all the other previous. We always believe in doing things in the honest way. We've always taught our children to be that way. And they are that way even in the professions.
Mm-hmm.
Are that way in the professions, and I wouldn't want them to be otherwise. I feel like if you can go to bed at night and sleep with a good, clear conscience, you've got everything licked.
Mm. Very true.
That's the way I feel. Well, they did very well, thank God. And that's what made that thing keep slipping all the time.
Do you think Heavenly Grace has changed a lot since you came here?
Oh, very much so. There's a lot more building, a lot more business, a lot more. There wasn't hardly any places to work. Except for the proving ground and the farmers in those days, and the railroad. Now we have a few other businesses now. Right from Cyanamid, three or four other places here that's opened. And Bader Shoe Company. Bader Shoe Company first came here. They lived in my house down the park. But, guess we have a lot more business here now. Mm. A lot of places to work, more so than when I first came. Mm. You either were in the proving ground or you worked. The railroad was pretty strong in those days. People were working, a lot of people were working on the railroad.
Mm. Was it a very more prosperous area than it is now?
I don't know whether you could equate it with the days that were so different. In those days, the people had to work for your money. You didn't get any money unless you worked for it. You didn't get any relief. You didn't get any welfare. They helped people that really needed it. I mean, there was always some kind of a program that helped the poor people. But you don't get no social security, a lot of things that you didn't have, so I don't think you can really equate it with the current.
Mm.
In those days, you worked for everything you got. I never got anything in my life for nothing, and I never put in for anything in my life for nothing. I just feel like as long as I'm able, I'll do the best I can.
Mm.
But now it's different. A lot of poor people didn't have enough money to spend. A lot of people would work more. A lot of people now that could work more.
Mm. Do you remember what the Depression was like
here?
Oh,
do I? Yes, indeed. I have had, I can't tell you how many people that came in that store and asked for just a piece of bread.
Mm.
And we did a very big business in those days because we kept our prices very low, and we advertised a lot. We advertised in the movies, we put out pamphlets, and people would come from all over the county, both counties, and they'd come and buy. But we worked on a small margin of profit. We felt like, my husband was a very good businessman, and we felt like a quick turnover is better than a larger margin. Very slow business.
Mm.
So he used to buy in very large quantities from mills and different places that he could buy them, you know, special prices. In fact, he was offered a job with Barnum and Bailey to buy for him.
Mm.
And then the people come in and they would be hungry, and they were really hungry. It wasn't that they would do now, you know, they'd come in and ask you for a drink of water so they can feel them. These people are really hungry. White and black were in my kitchen, and I have fed many, many, many ones. And I can't say, only one person came back, it was a black fellow. After several years, he came back and bought a pair of overalls. And he said, "Do you remember me?" He says, "I don't live around here, but I came back here because I appreciated you feeding me years ago."
Mm.
And I really felt pretty bad, and you know, and I thought, well, I don't even remember who I fed. I just did it out of the goodness of my heart. I just felt sorry for him.
Mm.
I couldn't stand anybody hungry if I had bread and ice, give them like a sandwich or something. Give them something to drink.
Mm.
Would you like a glass of iced tea? I don't know. You know, in those days, Depression was bad, very bad. People didn't have money. The banks were closed. It was lucky that we had had a good amount of business, and we had cash, had not taken it to the bank yet, because people couldn't even cash their checks from the government. We had a stack of checks. We cashed them all for them so they could buy food, you know. The Depression was very bad. But our business wasn't bad. We did a good business.
Mm.
We bought everything at low prices and sold it as low as we can. So I can't say that it really hurt us personally, but the people were really hurt for the business.
Mm. Now, was it a quick recovery, or did it take a long time?
No, I think it's a... Well, it took quite a while with people that lost their money with stocks. You know, when you lose a big amount of money in stocks, it's going to take a long time to get all that money back. And money wasn't, inflationary like now. But when Roosevelt, he was elected president, and then he opened the banks, and then they had all, you know, they did some, had some new laws, and the banks opened, and it sort of revived things. It wasn't too slow, I don't think. I think it took a little time, but not as much as you would think.
And now, what about the influence of World War II? Was that a prosperous time here? Were there lots of
business was very good, lots of soldiers and sailors. And I still say I fed many a soldier and many a sailor. Mm. There was one fella brought me a whole platoon from Rhode Island. He said they're from Rhode Island, and he knew I was from Rhode Island. We filled the store up and in the house, and everybody feeding them soft drinks and food and everything. But I didn't mind it. And my Joe used to say, well, we'll treat them good. Maybe somewhere will treat our children good somewhere, too. But our boys were in the service, too. Mm. Tommy was in the Navy, Freddie was in the Army. So. But, yeah, we had a good business, didn't we? You could sell anything that you wanted. Anything at all. You couldn't get enough to sell. Luckily, I had a good mother and sister that lived in Rhode Island. My mother was a very good seamstress. She would fix things for people at the store. They would she visit us, and that helped things along. Because in those days, they didn't have too many stores that catered that way. But business was very good. Everybody was in uniform. Everybody seems like to me. You didn't see very many civilian clothes. They were nice boys. They were very respectful, very nice. I even helped work at the USO. Mm. I worked at the USO here in Amity Grace. I worked in the USO in Amity. Mm. Made sandwiches, coffee, and all that stuff. I took them myself. I didn't. But I don't mind things. I feel like we always were raised to share, you know. When we were little and I went to school in Rhode Island, my mother said, if you have one walnut and you have another girl with you, don't you dare to eat it. Break it in half. If you can't, don't eat it. That's what we did, and that's the way I've lived all my life. I don't know if it's a good way, but that's the way I've lived anyway.
Sounds pretty good to me.
The children the same way. They've always been the same way. Very compassionate. Generous. And I hope they stay that way after I die, too. I think they will. I think the way a person's raised is what they will be.
Well, it would seem like you must have raised them really well to have developed them.
Well, I tried hard. I did the best I can, and I did everything that I felt would influence them in the right way. Try to keep them, you know. This house used to have every child in the neighborhood. They wore out my rug and I had to buy a bench and the dining room table because I had to let them play ping pong. And the boys would come in here from the neighborhood and I heard all their lessons at night. Jill would stay in the store, things would quiet down, I'd come in. Even Lois Cullison, she used to come in here and I'd hear her French. They hear their lessons, you know. And when they became boys at the age they wanted to dance, I bought them a book and I taught them the steps. Mm-hmm. And they all call me Mom. Some of them still do. They live around. Mm-hmm. They wore out the rug, as I said before, and the table. So I had to buy new ones after they grew up, because they used to use it for ping pong all the time. I always felt like if you had activity at home for the kids and they enjoyed their home, and you let them bring their friends home, I always felt like that was a good influence, because that teaches them. You can see what they're doing, and they're not running the streets, and they're not vandalizing anybody. If they played ball, and if they did play ball and broke a little window, well, we paid for it. It wasn't that much never beat him. But there's a lot of ways you can just beat him.
Did you ever have some bad storms, like with the ice gorges in the winter here?
We had one bad storm. I think it wasn't the month of March. It wasn't ice gorges. Well, before I came here, you know, the river used to freeze. My father-in-law had horses, and he used to cut ice on the river. My husband helped him for the American Ice Company. See, they would hire these horses that he had, and they would cut ice. But that didn't happen while I was here. But while I was here, we had one big bad storm. It was, the wires came down with electricity for a long time. And that was when the telephone company was across the street. They had their own power there. And my wires were hooked down to their building. I didn't get electric till the last one in town. My everything I had in the freezer was went to waste. I didn't go to waste, I gave it to the neighbors. But I mean, I couldn't use anything. And we didn't have any heat. We had the gas stove, so we could just heat ourselves very much. So they did a long time. That's about the only bad storm. We were here when Agnes came. We had a lot of rain. But they say they have had them because my husband said he's worked on the ice, and that they used to be, the ice used to be very thick. And they used to run railroad tracks on this ice. And they said, I don't know what I'm saying. People say it was here when I was here, but I probably didn't go down there. But I didn't see it myself.
You were too busy up in the store.
That was my problem. I didn't see it. So. A lot of people say, you must have seen it. It was here that year. I said, well, maybe it was, but I didn't see it.
Did you change the kinds of things that you sold in the store as the years went on? Was there a lot of difference?
Oh, yes. You maybe bought 5 or 6 dozen dresses. Next year they're not in style. We have to buy the newer fashions. We have to keep, you know, replenishing it. Sometimes you sold enough to make up for your losses, but sometimes you didn't. But then if you sell them at a lower price, well, sometimes if you knew somebody that was real good, was a good customer, and they liked them, you'd even get to, you know, rather than see it go to waste. But you always have to replenish things and always have to buy new fashions. Of course, a lot of things, staples, they don't. You don't have to do things like that, but the clothing, you do. I remember when we sold these blue jeans, they call them dungarees, in those days, for 95 cents. I had some left in the store, and I had the old, big overalls, and I said, my grandson was there, and he said, what are you going to do with those? I said, I don't know, they're too small to fit anybody. I said, will they fit you? He said, yeah. I said, would you want them? He said, will you give them to me? I said, yeah. He said, you know, they're selling them for $10, $15, or $20 now. I said, take them out. If they fit you, just take them. We used to sell them for like $2.95, something like that. So I told them all to come in and see what fits them, and just take them, that's all.
Do you miss running the store?
I miss the people, yeah. At first, it was very bad, you know. I got very lonesome. And you've been with a lot of people all the time. But then after my husband died, my sister came from Rhode Island. I thought my pretty good my son. He came to this block of stores. He says, you know what they're doing now? They're holding people up. And he says, how much money are you going to make? He says, it isn't worth the worry. Somebody holds you up, and somebody will hurt you or something, you better off keep them for us. So I did. And I think it was right, because since I've been reading so much and hearing something, I was broken in 3 times when I just lived, even Friday. I don't know if you noticed, I'm all of the wood on the those windows been broken so many times, finally I avoided them. They just don't leave you alone. And then nobody in the neighborhood can say that I haven't been nice to them. All these kids, as they grow up, I always give in cookies for them, and gum, and Jewish dolls, always give them Tootsie Rolls and bubbles. But they're all strangers. You can come here in the evening, and there might be 20, 30 boys on this corner. You wouldn't know one person. Mm. I don't know where they come from.
Well, how about all your customers? Have they stayed around the community, would you say?
Well, see, we're all aging. Mm-hmm. A lot of them passed away. But not many of them are in this area anymore. They moved away. Some have moved down to Florida. Not too many in Iran, but the ones in Iran are still very nice people. Mm-hmm. Very friendly, very nice. Mm-hmm. They're still off. No matter who they are. I was in the kitchen the other day and I was having a hard time moving around. The doorbell rang. Some days my legs don't work because I'm very bad arthritis and my fingers too. The doorbell rang. There's a black woman who used to come. So she came at the door and she said, "Oh, Anne, what did you do?" And she says, "I haven't seen you for so long. I was just come to check on you." And I thought that was very nice. And I said, "Come on in and have something to drink." She says, "No, I just came from home and I just ate." I thought that was just, I haven't seen you in the car, I haven't seen you anywhere. She said, "I thought I'd stop and see if you're still alive, if you're all right." That was real nice. She used to be one of our customers. Now, we have a lot of in town here that were our customers. I think they're still friendly. Although, I don't mean that other people aren't nice, but I just don't know if they are or not. I've got to the point where I don't want to investigate. I don't want to try them out. Since I've had so many bad experiences.
Well, now, your life and Havity Grace is really, it's been, I guess, a lot different than what it would have been in Rhode Island. And I wonder, do you have any regrets about moving down?
No, I have no regrets because I think while my children were growing, the town, I enjoyed the people, the town, everything. And I still enjoy it, but there's a lot of fear now. You're just afraid to do things that you really want to do. But I have no regrets. I've enjoyed Happy Grace a lot. I've enjoyed living here, the people. It's been very nice. My children have grown up here. Of course, Tommy lives in Bel Air now and goes to Marion Aberdeen. But they still have a good feeling towards Happy Grace. And I don't have any regrets. I've enjoyed going to Rhode Island every year, every summer, because my mother and sister were still living then, and I would go up and spend a month with them every summer. I took the children with me. I didn't have to take these babysitters or nothing like that. I took them with me wherever we went. We went to many places, so I took them. I think that's educational too. So I enjoyed going up there, and I was treated royally up there with, you know, from my friends. Some of them are still living. I have no problem having friends, and I don't know why some of these vandals or these boys, you know, they just, I guess they would do it to anybody. They don't even know me, I don't think. Maybe they might know my name or something. I don't know why. A lot of things I don't know.
We've talked about a lot of history and everything about it. What do you attribute for your seem pretty good health? Do you have any secret of being healthy and active, you know, at your age?
I really
very
don't.
Young.
I don't know. I was very active all my life. I said before, I worked hard in the store, I stayed up on my feet, but now I have this bad But I like to go out amongst people. I had joined the AARP and the homemakers and senior citizens and different groups. And I enjoy going, even sometimes I hardly can make it. I force myself to. And all my life, even though I wasn't feeling good at times, I would dress up and go to the hospital to see somebody that was close to myself. Sort of gives you a little pickup, you know. And I have never done anything. I've been on a diet all my life until these latter years. Now I say I don't care because I'm going to shrink anyway. I don't bother anymore with the diet. But other than that, I haven't done anything special. I'm not a drinker or a smoker, so.
Well, now, let's see, that's one thing I could ask you about. During Prohibition, was it very dry around here, or was that something that...
Well, I think there was a lot of, it was dry, but I wouldn't really know, but there was a lot of bootleggers in this town, because you could see, you could read in the paper, and this one was, the sheriff was there. There's plenty of bootleggers in town. So I think people that wanted it got it. None of that problem.